Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show, giving you information you want to know and music for your soul. It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
For the Bobby Eaton Show,
yeah.
Giving you information you'll want to know, speaking on issues affecting us all, and music for the soul.
Yeah.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Hello, world. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, or wherever you're at on the globe. Hey, and welcome to the Bobby Eaton Show. We're here in Tulsa, home of Black Wall Street 1921 Massacre. We tell our stories our way. And boy, do we have a nice, great show for you this evening. Hey, the organization Rise is here with Brandon Olden and all the urban professionals and stuff like that. You know, they're here, and we're going to be talking to them, and they're going to be sharing some information for us that you may want to hear. So we want you to stick around and listen to that. Hey, dial that number, 646-716-5525. Don't forget to press the 1 button, you know, if you want to talk to Rise. And it's going to be a great show. Meanwhile, let you guys know that we're here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also on Saturdays from 12 to 2 Central Standard Time. Let's see what we got going on. Oh yeah, don't forget the Juice Radio Show. Juice, juice, juice. People are always asking me, man, what is this Juice Radio Show you got going on over there? Well, the Juice Radio Show, a group of young high school students from various high schools, Booker T. Washington, McLean, Central, Rogers, they come in here every Thursday night, and they do radio their way. That's Thursday night, 6 p.m., the Juice Radio Show. You know, and speaking of shows, coming Saturday, we have Miss Zaza Ali, who will be here on the show, a good friend of Professor Boyce Watkins. They're real tight, and we're going to have Boyce come in on the show. We want you guys to always stay tuned. Meanwhile, if you can't remember any of that, well, let me give you guys this email address. Those of you who may have a pen and pencil or you got your phone handy, the email address in order to contact us is eatonmusic2@gmail.com. Again, that is eatonmusic2@gmail.com. We want you guys to tune in and take advantage of all of the information that comes your way. And that's what we want you to do. Well, meanwhile, let's see. What's going on in the city today? Well, we had a town hall meeting last night here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which covered a variety of various different topics, policing in the community. We're in a food desert here in North Tulsa. And we kind of talked about a little of that. And, you know, I want all of our listeners, you guys know, hey, we're just natural in here. We split verbs. We do whatever's necessary. We just talk about the issues at hand, you know, and we've had some great things going on. The state of Black America is so important. And it's so important that we realize in order to go forward, you got to know where you come from, you know, and that is so important in our culture today, you know, that we do that. So we're here with organization Rise, R-I-S, Rise. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to play a little of this old school cutie pie, and we'll be right back. Come on. Oh, Here on the Bobby Show, where we tell our stories our way. Hey, and in the studios, you guys, we've got some interesting people. We got Brandon Olden. How you doing there, sir?
Doing all right. How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Out here trying to make a difference.
Get close to that mic for me right quick so we can hear you.
Out here trying to make a difference.
Trying to make a difference.
That's
okay.
Right.
Well, now that I've got all you guys, I think I got 7 or 8 of you off in here. Let's go around the room right quick and let's introduce ourselves, okay?
I'm Brandon Oldham.
Clarence Boyd.
Yvonne Douglas.
Keontae Carter.
Carlisha Williams.
Jamal Dyer.
Heather Wimberly.
Okay, great. You guys are the organization Rise, correct?
Yes.
Yes,
that's right. We're part of it.
You're part of it. What you mean part?
there's a lot more of us. There's a lot more of us. You know, we're the kind of the leadership team.
Okay.
There's a lot more of us that make everything happen.
Great. Okay, now let's get into it. How did you guys get started? What happened? How did this originate?
You know, that's an interesting story. Interesting question you asked.
I want to know. Tell me.
So we were somewhat friends, very cordial with one another, and saw each other oftentimes out in the community and at different events. And, you know, we kept seeing a need that there's a void there for young professionals, and how do we engage, and how do we get in the community and really, you know, find a way to make a difference. And so we were all actually at Carlisha's apartment.
An apartment, huh?
Yeah, we're at her apartment talking about how somebody needs to do this is what we kept
saying.
Something needs
to get done.
And then it was a switch that kind of flipped there, and we were like, we're somebody. And then all of a sudden we start having conversations about what it looks like and the significance of 1921. And so we played with different words and we came up with the rise. And then, you know, we're Rise 1922 because we talk about, you know, the 1921 race massacre happened. But there's something about understanding that it was something after that. And so that's where we take 22 and we keep moving forward with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Now, can you tell our listening audience, because we got people listening all over the globe right now, no matter where they're at. I mean, I've had them call in here from London, or Bosnia, anywhere. Can you tell them what RISE acronym, what it stands
for?
Yeah,
absolutely. So RISE is Resilient, Innovative, Social Entrepreneurs.
Ah, great. Well, it's great, man. Great organization from what I call young millennial, younger people to get involved, professional people. Because, you know, I'm into the young folks anyway, you know. I'm an old dude into some young people, you know, because you are our future and you are tomorrow. And you're the ones who are going to – we got to pass the torch to and get you going and give you the pertinent information you need. You already have technology, so that's already a step in forward, you know, going forward. So tell us about what you got planned in store, anything you got planned, or what's your purpose and what you're doing?
Yeah. So when we came together and started really putting some things on paper is when we realized that we were going to do this. And so our whole thing is unifying and finding and connecting young professionals in a way that we can be change makers for our community, educating them on their professional career and development, and really how we can do that as a community and as a collective and find a place here in Tulsa for everyone to grow and to thrive.
Okay. And by doing so, I mean, the hands-on approach, what are you going to do in the community? Yes.
So I'll also add, you know, when we think about RISE, we have the slogan work, play, serve. And so we want to develop young professionals in Tulsa, not just through opportunities for them to be exposed to other career paths, but what is the professional learning that's happening? And so that's a component of our programming. We also play. We know that in Tulsa, there's a need for a young professional scene when we're engaging talent and getting people to stay in Tulsa, to live, to play, and to serve here. We create an atmosphere for that networking to occur. And lastly, we do serve. So partnering with other organizations to give back in the community, whether that means we're feeding the homeless or we're helping to support with the sickle cell run, we are out there in the community waving that flag to say that we're here to serve. So a lot of our programming has surrounded around that. We've done several series. Most recently, we did a career workshop where we talked about what got you there won't get you, what got you here won't get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And we tapped into the concepts of resume building, designing and pitching for negotiating salaries. So finding opportunities to bring voice to young professionals and teaching them how to navigate this path. Additionally, we have a play event coming up here pretty soon that I'll let someone else tell you about.
Okay.
So for our play event on December the 16th, we will do what we call a trap karaoke event. But with a twist, we're going to do an ugly Christmas sweater party. And so we just want people from all across the city, you know, surrounding areas to come out to our trap karaoke. It's going to be a good time. I took a little poll on my Facebook page to see if you were to come to trap karaoke, what songs are must-haves for you. And we're getting all of those songs. We want people to come out with the ugliest sweater you can imagine. So we're going to give a prize to the man and woman who wear the ugliest sweater. But we just want people to come out.
When is that going to take place?
It's going to be December the 16th, next
16th,
Saturday.
Where?
At Mama Dude's restaurant.
Mama Dude's, that's downtown, right?
Absolutely. And so we're all about patronizing, you know, black-owned businesses. And so we want to
support black.
That's where you got to go.
Absolutely. So we're having it at Mama Dude's. It's going to be a great, great time.
Sounds like big fun.
And guess what?
What?
It's free 99.
Free?
Free 99.
Free 99.
Yeah, this isn't the first time we've done it. So this was actually our first event, was a trap karaoke event. And the business that we hosted at, they told me they had never had a line outside. They had never packed out their restaurant.
Okay.
And we were able to do that for them.
Oh, really?
And it was a really good night. It was a really good night. People from all over came out and talked about it. You know, there was a need for something like this in Tulsa. And so they were really excited that we were kind of giving that and providing that for them. And it was
so had you guys been going down there on a regular basis or something? Just kind of getting to know those people?
Getting to know which people?
Mama Dudes.
Down. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so
Let me see something. Let me get your mic going. Something's going on here. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we
Try another one.
We used to have like a first Friday or last Friday, one of the two, event at Mama Dude's, and you know, summer picked up. You got a lot of travelers, a lot of passports in this, the people who we hang out with here, family reunions, that kind of thing.
Oh.
So in the summertime we slowed down, but we picked it back up, and we have some parties. We've had some other events at a place called
She Lounge.
The She Lounge.
Yeah, that's where the partners come in, ain't there, right, Keontae?
Yes,
sir. Yeah.
Partners,
so,
huh?
Yeah. So we like to play. Play
okay.
is something we like to
So you guys enjoy having some fun. Huh?
Yes, work hard, play hard.
Play hard, okay.
How we live our lives.
Right, right. And so you're gonna be training up some young professionals. You're gonna doing some training?
Well, we offer professional development workshops for them. So we did the
What type of workshops?
Mm-hmm. So we talked about resume writing. We talked about salary negotiation. We also want to help build professional skills in our young professionals in the community, and just the ability to network. And so providing a forum where we're sharing our own expertise. So oftentimes you'll hear from us talking about how to give your elevator pitch or how to network effectively. We're really interested in building the capacity of young leaders to stay here in Tulsa and to elevate in their career path.
Sounds good. Sounds real informative. And we got the pastor here.
Oh, you talking about Godfather?
Godfather.
Yeah,
what I meant.
Clarence is Godfather. Clarence. He's
Godfather.
He doesn't want to admit it sometimes, but he helps us a lot when it comes to really trying to mastermind this thing.
So. Godfather. And your position, you kind of work as in the background as far as or front ground or where you what's your
yeah,
position?
Yeah, I'll set it up for brother Godfather Clarence over here.
Okay, Godfather Clarence.
Yeah, so we sat in Carlisha's living room kind of talking about this and really figuring out what it looks like. And you know, we kind of talked to Clarence about it, and based on his involvement in Lead North, he had already been creating a community development corporation, and a lot of the things that we were talking about working on fit right under that umbrella.
Okay, he was already in kind of into it, huh?
Yeah.
Right, right.
So, yeah, we
get close to that microphone right there.
So we founded the Coalescent Community Development Corporation in 2016, and so when the young professionals got together and wanted to bring this about, I said, well, we've already got some of the operational stuff, some of the things in the background kind of going on already. So let's just make this work. And so we put Rise is actually a program or a subsidiary of the Community Development Corporation.
Oh.
But the CDC is really focused kind of at a higher level, looking at adaptive challenges in the community in regards to professional development, economic development, affordable housing, food access, career development, recreation, a bunch of different things that kind of fit underneath the CDC. But RISE was a perfect platform for trying to get some of these things going, kind of galvanizing the community around other things, other projects that we've got working on. So it's been a great fit for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this question right here. I deal with a lot of people in the community, a whole ton. I deal with the community, period, from all ages, from young to old, doctors, lawyers, professionals, down to drug addicts, crackheads, to single-parent families and things like that. And I noticed that we have an epidemic of people just not knowing information. I'm going to put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know where to go, who to talk to, what can you do, there's a lady that I know over in Vernon Manor who has 4 children, and she lives in the projects, okay? Her son is good, he's smart, he's intelligent, but just don't know where to go. What can RISE do to help someone like that that's in that type of situation? What can they come to you, or can you go to them? Or I want to know. Anybody want to answer that for me?
So, yeah, on that, that's where we are a part of the community. So we are out there, and that's where we talk about we don't do this work alone. You know, yeah, it's us who are here, and we kind of leave.
You guys are in the community. Y'all are actually out here in these streets and hitting these platforms. Boom,
yeah,
boom.
I live around the corner.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, literally.
Well, I understand that, too.
Yeah.
Because you can live in the community and not be about the community. I know some people, a lot of them like that. So.
I think that we should also all tell our profession. So we're all very deeply engaged in the work.
Okay.
And also leverage our own personal networks when it comes to serving and being a part
mm-hmm.
of RISE.
Right.
So a lot
exactly.
of us are not just connected through friendships, but we're also connected professionally, and we leverage our professional connections for the greater good of this organization
right.
and to provide access to more young professionals.
Yeah, so they definitely, to your question, I mean, we want to go to them. They can come to us, but we also, at these events, like, everyone's invited. You know, you talk about the Juice Radio Show.
Mm-hmm.
At our event, what
yeah.
got you there won't get – what got you here won't get you there.
Mm-hmm.
They came out and not only enjoyed the headshots, but they got all of the training and everything that came with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I heard about it, you know.
And the other thing we want to make sure that we do is that eventually, like, the next phase, we want to move into being able to mentor people. So we've talked about, you know, what the first year looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, what year 2 looks like, what year 3 looks like, because we often see with our organizations, with our folks, we want to do everything at once. We want to
mm-hmm.
start out. We got a mentoring program. We
mm-hmm.
got to.
This thing is a crazy right here.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm musical.
Use that one. Either musical.
It's
mic.
Okay.
Musical. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we want to do everything at once. We want to start off the bat with, you know, we're going to give out turkeys at Thanksgiving, and we're going to mentor people, and we're going to, you know, build an apartment complex. We want to
uh-huh.
do all that in the first year.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do it all in the first year.
For sure.
So the next phase, we're working on not only creating mentorships where we're mentoring people younger than us or maybe less experienced than us, but we're also having mentorship as well. You know, it's going to be, you know, constant, right? We've talked about this for things that are going on in the future. So while there are some things for, like, teenagers that can come and be involved, we don't have anything yet for Gracie for us to, like,
mm-hmm.
reach out to her yet, but we're working on that. We just don't want to make sure that we that we're effervescent in a bad way. We don't want to be big and we fizzle out, because
mm-hmm.
people do that. You know, creating a nonprofit and a new organization, that's a dime a dozen. But we want to make sure that we are lasting and that we're actually serving the needs of the community and that we're not just, you know, here fly by night. We don't want to be like that.
Great. Well, that's what I'm all about right here. Jamal.
Yes, sir.
Man, you know, a lot of talk. Your name's been out in the community. You're doing a lot of things. You're connected to RISE, you know, and you're connected to other organizations. All of you guys are. You know, business and professionals. Wow, I love it, you know. And we need more of you guys. You know, we need more of the. How do you feel about what's going on in the community today?
Well, I feel like we have made some significant segue in process. However, there is a lot of work for us to do. And I believe with vibrant, young, brilliant, intelligent young professionals that are like those that are in this room today, we can accomplish so much of the work that needs to be done. And we want to see those who came before us and let them know that we're willing and wanting to work with them to achieve the goal of a greater good.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important because, you know, what I see today, and we're always talking about it here on the radio, there's somewhat great divide between young and old. You know, that's what I see. The older people not going to do the work. They tired. They sitting at home punching the remote control and don't want to pass that information down like they should. I'm speaking to it. You know, I can say what I can say. It's the Bobby Eaton Show. You know what I mean? And some of the younger people feel like, some of them feel like they already got it and know exactly what to do. My thing is, how can you fight a war if you don't have your generals? You understand? Mm-hmm. We can all speculate and figure out, well, let's go to war, let's do this, let's do that. But we got to seek out that information that's so knowledgeable.
Absolutely.
You know, the information of identity and where you come from, you know, because that is so important. Because how can you know where you're going if you don't know where you come from?
Absolutely. And now, I believe it's very important what you're saying, and I totally agree 110%.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also imperative for those generals to be able to reach back and say,
exactly,
I want you,
yeah,
to help us to win this, mm-hmm, war, and not
I'm
going to prohibit you from, yeah, being on the front line because you don't do it the way that I do it.
Right. I'm one of them generals that agree exactly what you say. Because what happens is that they are some of them are so afraid. I'm going to be honest with you. They're afraid to approach younger people in a certain way. If you figure they may get fussed out, cussed out, or something like that. And it ain't like that. You know, I'm not one of them. And they got to be willing to give that information. That's why I got the Juice Radio Show and Ramal Brown and Mario Choice and younger people who I know going to get out here and do the work. WORK. That's what's necessary. We got to do. We can't talk about it. We have to be about it.
Absolutely.
You know, and that, as long as we're doing that, we're making some headway.
And that was one of the key things that we wanted to do. We wanted to be the change that we wanted to see. And we want all of those seniors who have come before us, who are still in the trenches, to let them know that we want to work with you. It's not a us and them,
right?
But it's we're in this thing together.
Yeah.
Once we realize we're in this together, you know, we can accomplish so much.
Yeah.
More.
Well, you know, the movement has always, civil rights movement has always been about young people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Martin Luther King was young, Malcolm X was young, Huey Newton of the Panthers, and all of them were young. Angela Davis, and the list goes on and on and on of young, vibrant, energetic people out changing their community. And education and knowledge is power. It's very powerful, you know, and the more we can spread that information and that knowledge, we can all grow and benefit like they did back in 1921, mm-hmm, during the mass, you know, the time of the mass before the massacre.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing about it, Bobby, I think for us, and I'll say General Eaton because you said yourself as a general, I think us and our partners, you know, we all understand that, and we understand, to take the statement that you said there a little further, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Like we have some knowledge and we know that, we embrace that, but our generals, as you said, there's some wisdom to living through certain things, and that's what we want to set up, those type of opportunities that, yeah, you may be a little hesitant about reaching out or approaching, you know, people in our generation, but we want to make that space and invite you to it so that you don't even have to worry about what that door looks like. We already threw that. We opened the door. We want to sit down with you and let you share with us and really teach us some of that wisdom that you have.
So
yeah,
that's a plug right there. So for any general who's out there who wants to invest heavily into the lives and minds of these young professionals who are willing to do the work, they can reach out to us on www.rise1922.org.
Okay, great. Well, that's what it's all about. You know, young people doing young things. That's why I had you guys come here. you see what I'm saying? Because I'm always reaching out to the young. I've got to. I think that's a part of my purpose. You know, being a man who's lived in different cities, and, you know, I lived overseas for 3 years and traveled around the world with various different old school artists and stuff, and you know, it's a blessing just to be able to come back home and get into the movement, you know,
mm-hmm,
and be active and, mm-hmm, you know, get involved with people, and that's what it is, that involvement. Now, I believe now in my heart that it all starts at home with the family. Jamal, you got your little girl with you right here. She's your trooper. She with you everywhere.
All the time. We've been riding.
Yeah. And you guys got children? Everybody got children? Family? Single? What?
We have families.
Got families? Single?
Yeah, Heather over there hiding.
See, Heather. Get Heather in the mix right here.
Yeah, come on over here, Heather.
Heather.
Come on, Heather.
Yeah, yeah. Turn that microphone. Turn that microphone around there. Around there to her. Yeah.
Yeah,
she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Heather, how you doing?
Bobby.
What's going on with you?
A lot. Just getting off work. I'm missing my family tonight, but glad to be with my second family, which is this organization, and just really doing some tangible things within the community. All of us are obviously professionals in our field, and just having a seat at the table to make some change is I think, really big for us all right now in this year, 2017. So.
Now, Heather, you just did something a while back, several months ago, with Guthrie Green.
Mm-hmm.
And downtown at the Guthrie Green, it was the SOS band, Charlie Red, and
woo!
Raheem Devine.
Oh, yeah.
What a show was that. That was such litty. And, you know, it is so funny that happened like that for me because, you know, I talk to the SOS band all the time, even prior to them even knowing they were coming here.
Right, right.
And I had an interview with them on my show. And then they said, my friend who's a leader of SOS, he called me, he said, hey, man, we coming there. I said, what? Coming? You know, coming there. And then next thing you know, you came in here.
Yep, absolutely.
And talked to me and said they were coming. You know, you put a stamp on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you put that stamp. Boop, and next thing you know, that show was so great. So much fun.
Yeah.
Everybody just loved it throughout the whole city. A bunch of people of color coming together. No fights. Nothing going on. No drama. And it was great. And I just want to applaud you guys. And Jamal, you was the MC.
Killing it.
You know, and it was just a great presentation. And I wanted to say thank you for having us all out there.
Oh, absolutely. It was a fun event. We're going to do it again next year. And looking forward to Juneteenth, which Jamal and I are heading up the entertainment for that. And just downtown as a whole, I know there's been that, you know, gap within the community, but it's starting to at least
be
a bridge.
You said the word gap.
Yeah, it's starting to be
a bridge there. When you say gap, I think a Gap band.
Oh,
in a gap. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. But you know what? I spoke with Charlie Wilson about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And Charlie wants to come back here and start doing some things. He said he's been absent from Tulsa for a while and hasn't really contributed anything like he should. You know, and that Juneteenth thing sounds kind of good. I don't know. You know, that gives enough time.
Come on, Uncle Charlie.
You know, that's enough time. That sounds like kind of fun right there. Some big fun. It's something to maybe work on now. You know? Right. Shop it. Right. All right. All that good stuff right there. But it's gonna be great regardless of what takes place or what happens and stuff like that. And, you know, you guys as urban professionals, do you guys just go over each other's houses and visit just on GP? You know? Just go visit each other. I'm going to go over Jamal's house and, you know, eat up his bologna sandwiches. You know,
I mean, we got good home training. We call first. We don't just be rolling up on people's houses.
Y'all call each other first.
Right. You know, send a text.
Come on now, y'all. Let's be honest. We millennials. We send text messages.
Right.
Y'all send text messages.
We send text messages.
But, okay, you're right. Hey, I'm coming by, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. I mean, I spent Thanksgiving with Brandon and his family and some other people who live in the neighborhood. And we enjoy, what are these things called? Mm-hmm. Beverages.
We enjoy playing. Yeah.
Okay.
We enjoy playing.
Beverages. Particularly Crown. And so we have a really great time. And, you know, with each other. So yeah, these are my people. This is my team.
Your team right here.
And, you know, one of the key things is that even when we get together, we're always doing things and playing games that kind of for the love of a culture, you know.
Yeah, for the culture.
For the culture, yeah, you know, doing culture. different things. You know, Carlicia's always the brains of the operation.
She
when
can't
it comes
help
to,
it
though. Uh-oh.
She can't help
to
it.
To questions and games that really, really, really spark your mind and cause you to really think. And so we have a really great time together outside of work.
Great, great, great. Outside of work.
We'll pop up on each other's jobs, what y'all doing, you know.
Yeah, they do that.
They do.
They do that.
Up.
Wow. well, let me ask you guys this question. Is everybody from Tulsa or not from Tulsa? Where are we going to start?
We have a little bit of a mix.
A little bit of mix?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Brandon, you from Tulsa?
Yeah, I'm from Tulsa.
Born and raised?
Yeah, born and raised. We have a mix, though. And it's one of those things where we've really opened it, trying to open it up and get everyone to see that you can be from here and really make a difference, but it can also be the other way. You don't have to be from here to really be able to and wanting to make a difference.
Yeah, and that's my experience right there is that if you've been able to travel and go somewhere and see something else, you can see something different. And even if you've lived something else and you mm-hmm. come into the community, you can bring about something different as far as education.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have to be from here to make a difference in this community. You know, we're all African-American black people. And, you know, wherever I go, I'm going to be me and I'm going to bring it. I don't mm-hmm. care. And I've lived in some other places, but you have to represent.
Yeah, you got to
represent. What I mean? Represent, you know?
I mean, we've run into partners out there. You know, we talk about playing, and there's people who are not from here, but they're living here and they're rooted. You know, they've placed roots down, put roots down here. You know, think of people like, you know, Ridden Quincy. He's one who Cypher 120, and he started different things around here. But I mean, it's definitely people who they're committed, you know, to Tulsa and making a difference.
Wow, that's what it is. Godfather, you from here?
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Yep. What schools did you guys go to?
I went to Madison and to Central.
Oh, Madison. Yeah.
What elementary Central. School did you go to? Excuse me, sir.
I attended Walt Whitman, and then I attended Roosevelt.
He left.
What about you, Godfather?
Born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Both my parents worked at ORU, so we lived close to ORU. I went to Jinx, but my father is a pastor out in North Tulsa.
Okay.
So I
left. Who's your father?
Clarence Boyd.
Okay, Clarence Boyd. Okay, yeah.
And my grandfather pastored at Vernon A. Meade Church back in the 50s and the 60s.
Historical.
Yeah, a lot of roots here. Born and raised, like I said, and still here.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think I'm the only person here who's not from Tulsa.
Where are you from?
Well, you know me. No, I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, same as the founders of my sorority, Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated.
Oh, my goodness.
All day, every day. You know, my Sigmaversary is tomorrow, so I had to do that. Okay. No, but I grew up all over the country. I lived in Honolulu, Hawaii as a little girl, Nashville, Tennessee, but St. Louis is home.
St. Louis is home for you?
Yeah, St. Louis is home. That's, I'm from the Lou, and I'm proud. And I love
I got some friends up there in the Lou.
You gotta come kick it.
I've been up in the loop.
But you ain't been there with me.
Okay. Yeah, right. I need to come kick it with you then. Exactly. Huh? Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm Keontae Carter. I'm from Tulsa. I didn't know we was doing Greek stuff, but I mean, definitely play as Alpha Phi Alpha Shark and Alpha. Yesterday was Founders Day.
Oh, you throwing it
who
in.
Who you with?
Get it in. Y'all better get it in.
Yeah. Sorry, Booker T.
Hornet.
Thank you, Tomorrow. I'll have my back.
Come on.
Then OSU.
OSU. Okay.
I am from Tulsa. I say that I was raised in Tulsa since I was 3 years old. I went to Union and then to University of Oklahoma and Syracuse University
Boomer.
For grad school.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner.
Yeah. And we know where. We know about you.
You better believe it, baby. Yeah. Native North Tulsa, okay?
Yeah.
I grew up in the hood, 49th Street North. Went to Walt Whitman, went to Carver, went to World Class. Booker T. Washington World Class High School, the home of the 6A2 state champions 2017, who just defeated the Bigsby Spartans. We're excited to be in Tulsa, living in Tulsa, doing work for Tulsa.
Wow. What about Heather over there?
Oh, excuse me. I went to the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff.
Okay.
I'm an undergraduate degree. Then went to Langston University for my master's. Mm-hmm. And I'm a member of the Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated.
Hold on.
Okay. I missed my Greek shout out. I'm a woman of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
So if we go Alpha, there, I am a member of Iota Phi Theta Incorporated. You got to dig for gold.
Everybody. Okay, yeah.
So I went to Booker T. I'm Jamal.
Get close to that microphone there. Turn it sideways.
Turn it sideways.
Yeah. You went to Booker T.?
Yeah, Booker T. 04. That's my classmate.
I pledged in basketball. That counts too.
Oh,
that
was, man.
B-ball. I'm going to have to interrupt you, Heather. Y'all, Heather used to put in that work.
He ain't lying.
Did
when
she?
I tell you on that court when
Heather, you was cold like that?
No.
You was bringing it like that, huh?
I guess.
Some Lisa Leslie stuff or something, huh?
Okay.
Okay.
She took Booker T to their first state championship.
Okay.
The first time Booker T's girls ever went to the state championship was under Heather Wimberly.
I went to college, University of Missouri, Kansas City, where I got my bachelor's in
math. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Came back home.
Gotcha. And came back home.
Came
huh?
back home.
Yeah. Well, that's the way we do it. You know, people are always asking me that question. I mean, I've been around a lot of places, and I mentioned the word Tulsa to some people. Some black people in Tulsa? Where's Tulsa located, you know, and stuff like that. Because, you know, I'm a faithful Hornet. You know, I grew
right,
up.
Baby.
Yeah, and Hornet, I was around when it was Booger T. You know what I mean? To the T, you know what I mean? And it still has spirit and stuff like that still going on. But, you know, when Booger T. Washington was a pillar in the community, and it's where all the culture was really, really there. You know, and back in those days, because I went to Marian Anderson in junior high, because you only had Marian Anderson and Carver, which fed Booger T, you know, back in those days. I'm telling my age, ain't I?
Yeah,
man, I'm really telling my
I
age.
I thought Anderson was in elementary school.
Well, no. Before,
it was when we started going to school.
When I went to school, back in my time, it was a junior high, because you only had two schools. Carver's the oldest. Now, Carver been around forever. Two feeder schools, Marian Anderson and Carver, which fed Booger T. Washington. Then you had a few people who went to Roosevelt.
That's the place to
you
be.
Know, and went to Central Downtown. You know, so that was during that time frame. That's back in the day, way back in the day, when Northside community had everything, you guys. I'm going to tell you right now. There was a time here in North Tulsa, you didn't have to go nowhere because you had grocery stores, you had cleaners. You had fast food restaurants, our regular restaurants, nightlife, several nightclubs, 10, 12 spots to go to, taxi cab services, everything over here in North Tulsa coming up. And you didn't have to go anywhere, you know, and that's just what it was. Things have brought about a change.
What do you think changed that?
That's what I was about to ask.
Well, you know what? If you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you, to be truthful with you, now this is just my opinion. You know, this is I don't want y'all to get it twisted. Urban renewal became urban removal. Integration came in and deployed everybody else in different directions, which broke up the community unity in the community. So we started obtaining some jobs better, you know, a few of us did. And, you know, they were working, started going to American Airlines and, you know, higher paying jobs. And then it brought about that division between blacks, between us, because we started looking at each other. Well, you know, I went to college. I got a musical degree. I went to Ohio, Central State University in Ohio. That's where I did and all of that. And I found out, just because you get a piece of paper
come through
don't mean you're going to even be working in your preferred field. You know, when you graduate, you look up, man, and you're working next to people who got maybe higher degrees than you, and y'all making the same money, you know, so or less. But what had happened was it brought about a lot of division, because I think a lot of times when some blacks get $2 past bus fare, they become, well, I'm here and I'm up here. And they sometimes we forget where we come from, you know, because we move out of the community. We don't never go back to talk to JoJo and Pookie Nim and you know, Sandra J and all of that. You know, we don't go back. We just disconnect ourselves for economic reasons. We living good. You know what I mean? We living good and everything is just fine. And so we never get a chance to go back. So grandma's house that was over in North Tulsa is deteriorating and falling apart because we left it that way. We moved out to Owosso, Jinx, Skytook, other places, and we left it and we let it deteriorate. I'm just saying, We let our property deteriorate, you know. That's why I'm of keeping the legacy going on. The very place that we're sitting in right now at the Bobby Eaton Show was built by my grandfather.
Nice.
So, so this building is over 100 years old. I refuse to see it just fall apart for urban renewal or urban removal to come in here and knock it over. So I came back home because my parents are in the 80s and somebody's got to take care of what grandpa put here. And so, boom, I said, well, I'm going to be here. I'm going to put it back the best I can. The wall's got a few cracks in it and the building's kind of shaky, but it's still working. You hear what I'm saying? It's still working. And the barbershop next door, see, this is a duplex, is a historical barbershop. So often that our historical landmarks here in our community get torn down. Mm-hmm. And our young ones and our children never know that it was something that happened. The historical barbershop next door was where the civil rights movement of the 60s got started for North Tulsa. All of your Homer Johnsons, Don Ross, Maxine Horn, and all these people would come to this barbershop right here. My dad was in there cutting. He was cutting hair along with my grandfather, and my uncle was cutting hair. It was Eaton and Sons, you know. And my father, Bobby Eaton Sr., was the first African-American black man to get arrested and go to jail for protesting at a restaurant here, a white restaurant here in North Tulsa, that they wouldn't allow blacks to even come in and eat. So they protested, locked him up, and threw him in jail. You know, and it's a lot of history here in North Tulsa that these stories need to be told.
Yeah.
People, so our foot soldiers like yourselves will know that it hasn't always been easy for us to get our degrees and for us to go to school, for us to get our education, because a lot of people paid a price.
Yeah, that's true.
They paid a hard price for you to be able to just vote, VOTE, for you to just be able to vote. So we got to pass that on. We have educators and intelligent people like yourself who are about something. You got to, you know, step that up and, you know, get into it.
And I also want to add to that, General Eaton, that, I mean, that's people, who didn't go to college here in Tulsa that are just as knowledgeable. They are just as informed. They are just as engaged. And there's some people who, you know, I talk about, I went to Central, I come back and I connected with, you know, some of my friends from high school, and they are, I mean, they found their lane and they are really making a difference here in Tulsa. And like we talk about, we're professionals, they're professionals in their own right. You know, we talk about, you know, paid films with Brandon Wade, and we talk about world culture music with Steph Simon, with, you know, Keenan Lane. Shout out to Steph and Keno making it happen there. But, you know, it's still a lot of people out here, again, for the culture and really talking about moving and shaking and how we do some things as a community. And I think they're just as they have every right as everyone else to sit at that table and learn from our generals as well.
Mm-hmm. And the women, you know, we got to start learning how to respect our females and our women. We really do, guys, you know, those are listening. And we got to learn how to become, see, there's one thing to have malehood and manhood. There's a difference between the two. You know, so when you become a man, you know what a man is all about and what a man. And when a woman becomes a woman, she knows what she's all about. So if she's doing some things out there that's disrespectful to herself and her community, then she needs to be told about it. The guys most definitely need to be told about it, you know, because our young men and young people are not building anymore. Think about it. Asians will see a shack house, and next thing you know, in 2 weeks, it'll be built and remodeled and redone because they've done the work. You know, our young men have got to get back to picking up nails and hammers and saws and rebuilding our communities and stuff. You know, you got to do it, because if you don't, they're going to take over and they're going to buy it all up, and they're going to, you know, because they're about family. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the Asians have their own communities. If you go across this country, they have their own little section and communities. Hispanics got their communities, and, you know, the white people run it all, you know. So we've got to unite and start getting back to that 1921 method of living with young professionals, giving out that information, making it positive.
Yeah, I think some of that general eating is we as the times change, you know, we pass things differently, and so we talk about, you know, the hammer and the nail. Sometimes the hammer is a metaphor for the knowledge that you have. Sometimes the nail is a metaphor for the education that we have to put somebody through. Sometimes these tools are not literal tools, but it's metaphorically in saying that I'm going to set my children up, or I'm going to set even my peers up. You know, maybe they're not able to do this, but I will serve as that catapult that they can launch off of.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the ladies should do? What can we do to help our ladies? I want to hear from the ladies.
Well, speaking on, I guess, behalf of the ladies, and Devon will also jump in. I mean, I think about the fact that just like as a Black woman, my experience sometimes is more complex than that of others who get to sit at tables, and the responsibility that lays in that space. I think of Black men also as serving as allies in this work and in
Come
this
through.
Fight. And standing up when we are talked down upon or degraded or looked past. Mm-hmm. So many times I've sat at tables, and not only have I been the only person of color, but also sitting at that table as a woman. And it's been conversations. And I even think about Brandon, and I had him come in, and a few of them, Jamal and his wife, Brandon and his wife, came and did a panel with some young women at my school to talk about healthy relationships and what it looks like in a marriage and how to allow for women to continue to carve their path and find their goals and dreams. And that at the end of the day, the picture of success is not just being a wife and a mother, but also chasing after your divine purpose. And so allowing for women to see other women who are pursuing their dreams and their goals and being supported by their partner, being mm-hmm. supported by their community.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
But I think that and not only will our little girls be able to become what they see, the same for our boys. I think about this fight and this work, and we all sit here not just for ourselves, but for generations to come. And I will sit at the table. I might be uncomfortable sometimes, but I'll elevate my voice because I know that my seat provides access for another young woman who looks just like me.
Come on.
Yes.
Preach.
Yes.
That's great.
And I just want to hone in a little bit on what she said there. Sorry to interrupt for the other two ladies who wanted to, but seriously, as a man, sometimes you have to understand and look at that and say, there's some things happening here that aren't okay. And I have to use my privilege as a male to echo what sometimes women are saying. And in those moments, not only do that, but verbalize to everyone else in the room that this woman just said this, that you kind of brushed past, but now that I'm saying it, you're okay with it.
What was the original question?
She was somewhere else. Huh?
No, I was just so engaged in Carlisa's words. No, this is like advice to young Black women and Black women in general. I don't know if anybody saw that the Time magazine made the person of the year, basically women who have spoken out against sexual assault and sexual harassment. And as a person who's a survivor of sexual assault, and we know that this is something that's silent in our community a lot of the time. And so for me, that was a really big thing today. And so the thing that I'm pulling from that is that, you know, Black women have to support each other when that type of when they want to speak out about that, or if their choice is that they don't want to speak out just yet. That's a key for us. That type of mental health. And taking care of our mental health is something that we really need to work on as Black women. And one of the ways to do that is, of course, self-care, things that you do by yourself, but also a team. We had a Lemonade Book Club where we were reading books by Black women for Black women to help take care of ourselves. So all of those things. I know that's kind of like all over the place. That's why I wanted to repeat the question. Mm-hmm. But these are the things that are to me most important right now with, you know, sexual harassment and sexual assault. We need to be able to support ourselves because a lot of people don't believe us as Black women. When we say that we've been hurt, when we say that we're in pain, people see us as a strong Black woman and we get ignored. Right. And so it's crucial for us to recognize that we're not made of stone, that we're made of that we're made of flesh, and that we break and we weep. And and that's OK. And we need to have that support from each other. And thankfully, I've got some good folks to help support me in this and and a savior to help me through this. But it's really key for Black women to be able to speak out when we need to, and to be able to have support in the issues that we have that are unique to Black women, because our experience is unique in the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful right there. You know, the word strong, strong Black woman. Mm-hmm. How does, give me a definition for that, because I want to know what is a, to me, my mama's a strong Black woman. You know what I mean? My grandma was, they were strong Black women. You know, they were working hard. They were putting it in. They didn't run the streets. You never seen them do stuff. And it was all about being positive, taking care of the family. What's your definition for that today? Because that's a word that comes out quite a bit, you know, in today's time. You didn't hear it back in the day, but you hear it a lot now. But those ladies back in those days, they were kind of like, what's the word? Kind of pushed, held down in a lot of areas of success. You know, they couldn't go to work. They had to stay with the kids and be in the kitchen and, you know, and all that kind of thing. They were strong, but they were more submissive in their own way of life. So in your mind, what's a strong Black woman? Don't speak too fast.
So I'm going to use an analogy because I like to talk analogies a lot. So when you talk about a building, right, and we live in a tornado alley type place here in Oklahoma, you know, the wind comes sweeping down the plains.
Mm-hmm.
When you build a strong building, one might think that the best way to make it strong and withstand a storm is by making it as hard as possible, right? So people may think of strength as hard as possible, but actually the strongest buildings are the ones that are built to be flexible. So to me, part of what makes a strong Black woman is to be able to move and to shift when these things are thrown at you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't only be just sturdy. You have to be able to withstand the slings and arrows, the things that the microaggressions that we see at work, the overt racism that we see from federal leadership in this country, and even from the people that we work with, and to deal with the sexism from the men in our families as well as our lovers, and be able to move and, you know, what is it called? Like, what is it? What am I talking about? Like Bob and Weave, like you got to be able to move out of the way. See, I got a Bob and Weave from the Facebook expression. what makes a strong Black woman is the ability to be flexible and not only just be sturdy.
Wow.
To be able to move like a well built skyscraper.
Okay, well explain there. How many people are married and who's single? Here we go again, huh?
I'm not afraid to go first.
I want to know about young people.
Yeah, I'm married. I have an incredible wife.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Great.
Hi, Lauren.
Hey, I'm married to the lovely Mrs. Kimberly Dyer. We've been married, getting ready to be 5 years, dating almost 10. We have a lovely daughter, Gracelyn. She's 3. She's under the seat right now.
Yeah.
And we are expecting our second child. So.
Woo! Somebody been busy, huh?
Community ain't the only work I've been doing.
Well, that's so good. Yeah.
This is Clarence. I'm happily married to Michelle Boyd. That's the definition of a strong woman right there. The mother of my 4 children.
I have
18-year-old son, 12-year-old daughter, 7-year-old son, and a 1-year-old baby girl.
Oh, you okay?
So
you've been busy too.
When you talk about strong strength, that she is every bit of it.
Great.
And I would say the same for my wife as well. With, you know, a lot of times people talk about my involvement and how you know, in the community I am, but I wouldn't be able to do half of the things that I'm able to do if I didn't have a supportive wife. My wife, she when I say she holds it down at home, she holds it down. I mean, working a 9-to-5 to taking care of this little active 3-year-old to making sure I have everything I need. So shout out to you, boo.
Yeah. That's so good, man, to be able to be in a relationship like that where you got 2 people actually really working together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard when you, I mean, take it from old school right here. I've done it a couple of times, you know what I mean? And a couple of things didn't work out, you know, but at the same time, and I'm single now, you know,
on the rise, too.
Right. What? Did I miss something over there?
No, that was Gracie over there.
Okay.
She was playing with that paper plan.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, once again, tell our listening audience, how can we get in touch with Rise? you know.
No,
call Jamal.
No.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook. We also have the website www.rise1922.org, coalescentcdc.org.
All of that.
You
huh?
know, one of the key things that we must say before we leave is that with all the work that we're striving to do and wanting to do, it takes resources. So if there's anybody out there in the listening audience that loves what they've heard about what RISE is and wants to invest in this work, we will gladly meet with you to talk to you, see how we can engage you in this work.
Yeah,
definitely. 501c3.
Yes. Absolutely.
In the year tax donation, we accept them.
Are there any other areas? What's your job descriptions that you do on your outside of RISE? What are you doing? What are you involved with? Tell us about what you're involved with, what you're doing outside of RISE.
Okay. I work in the mayor's office here in town. I'm heavily involved in the 1921 Race Riot Centennial Commission, Sankofa Committee with the African American Resource Center and the Tulsa City County Library System. I'm on the board for Operation Aware, providing drug and alcohol education to schools, as well as I'm on the MetCares Foundation board.
You real busy then, huh?
And as we were talking about, I support my wife in everything she does.
Okay. You better say that, huh? Get it in.
I am a commercial banker by trade, but originally was an architect and project manager before I went into banking. So working a lot with real estate development and economic development in that aspect. I sit on a couple of different boards, the 1921 Tulsa Race Riot Centennial Commission. I'm on the steering committee for that. I'm also a board member of Rebuilding Together Tulsa and couple of other ones that I can't even remember.
Right.
I work for the best boss in the city of Tulsa.
I heard that.
My mayor, G.T. Bynum.
I brag different.
Okay.
So I work for the city. In my free time, I'm the second vice president of local chapter of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. And I'm also on the state board of the New Leaders Council. We're all about getting people involved in politics who are progressive thinkers. So that's where most of my time goes. And I'm a avid Netflix watcher. So much more important work than what Brandon's doing. I watch TV. So
I work in marketing for the Tulsa Health Department as the community relations specialist. I'm in grad school right now, finishing up my MBA. Will be done in May.
Come through.
The Carter will be free. I'm in the process of starting my own marketing event planning firm, Key Concepts, Light Pub. We have a party. All
right.
That's one of our partners right there.
Come through, Key.
Key Concepts, the Marco Guillory in Ebony. We have a party on Christmas Eve. It's called Alter Ego. It'd be the fifth one I think we've done so far. It's a day party. 5 to 9, $10 at She Lounge. And then some of the proceeds that we get from that party, they all go to RISE. So
quick plug to that. Like as he said, they've thrown about 5 of them. But even in the partnership that we have, when Ebony approached us about it, she said, we have to train our community to enjoy themselves, but also do it in a way that gives back.
Oh, so, yes, we got that Christmas Eve. She Lounge.
I am the executive director and superintendent of Tulsa Legacy Charter Schools. I'm also the founder and executive director of Women Empowering Nations, an international nonprofit organization working with girls of color. I serve on the Greater Tulsa African American Commission. I serve as a supervisory council for the state superintendent of education. I obviously work with RISE, and I'm also a school systems leader fellowship that does a national fellowship for systems development across the country.
Oh, okay.
I, by trade, am the 1921 Tulsa Race Riot Centennial Commission project manager. I am a mental health professional. I've been in the mental health field for 1 on 5 years. I also work in my family business, Dye Memorial Chapel, that has been serving people in their deepest and darkest hour for over 44 years here in the Tulsa community. Shout out to Dye Memorial Chapel. We're still holding it down. We've changed locations. We moved 2103 from 1610 East Apache, but we're still in business. Shout out to Dye Memorial Chapel. also, I serve on the Tulsa Legacy Charter School Board. I serve on the Booker T. Washington Foundation for Excellence Board. I serve on the Tulsa Juneteenth Board, Planning with Tulsa Juneteenth. I serve on
you just newly serve,
appointed.
Huh?
That's what you people serve. Ask me what I am. I just tell them I'm a servant.
Yeah.
And then I this is definitely not the lowest on the totem pole, but I am in ministry, and so I try my to be used by God in that aspect of my life as well. And then on top of all that, I am a husband and a father to an active 3-year-old.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
I don't like going after Jamal.
Man.
I'm the vice president of operations for.
Get a little closer there.
Vice president of operations for Jesse Green. My full time job is I'm a mom of a very busy 5-year-old. And then I serve on the Tulsa Arts District Committee, Tulsa Bike Share Board, working on finishing up the Resiliency Tulsa piece. Let's see, Juneteenth Committee.
Winning CrossFit competitions.
Yeah, I was CrossFit competition. Abbott work. I love working out still, so that keeps me pretty busy too. So yeah.
Wow! Highly impressed. Yes. Well, we're gonna take a break right quick. We're gonna do some things, and we're gonna come back with Rise in just a minute. We don't want to keep them in here too much longer. You know, if they don't want to be, it's all up to them. You know what I mean? So keep in mind, you're listening to the Bobby Eaton Show, where we tell our stories our way. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and also on Saturdays from 12 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I want you guys to let you guys know that tomorrow night is the Juice Radio Show here at 6 p.m. Juice will be here, young high school students from various Tulsa Public Schools. They come in here and they do radio their way. And also coming up, well, hey, this coming Friday, Funky Friday. I forgot to tell promote Funky Fridays. Every Friday night here on the Bobby Eaton Show, you can call in and request your favorite jam, no matter from what era it is. And we just play music all night long every Friday night. One lady called me. She said, "Bobby, y'all just playing that music. I'm cleaning up my house." You know what I mean? So I'm cooking some food, and y'all jamming over there. So it's me, Sansaray Robbins, and Mario Choice every Friday night. And this coming Saturday, we have Boyce Watkins' good friend, Zaza Ali will be here. She'll be talking about empowerment and economic development when it comes to blacks in America. And she's going to be doing that as well. We got some people lined up. Hey, I've been working on that Earth, Wind, and Fire for y'all. You know, they said they were going to probably try to do one with me. So I'm always trying to reach out there and grab somebody. So, all right, we want you guys to stick around, and we're going to be right back, okay?
Y'all trying to do
Something you want to say before we you guys all depart? Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure to shout out some of the people who couldn't be here who are a crucial part of our team. You know, Shay Jackson had a her and her husband Ian had a beautiful little girl, and so she's taking a little bit of a step back to make sure she gives the proper attention to becoming a mom for the first time. Congratulations right. to them. And then also Candace, our sister Candace, has been dealing with some health issues. If you follow her on Facebook, you know, she's very open and shares with us, you know, the ups and the downs. And so she has to take a little bit of a step back. But we want them both to know that we appreciate them, we love them, and they're a crucial part of our family.
Yeah, man. Great. Well, man, I want to thank you guys, man, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come in here, talk about Rise, you know, urban professionals doing great things in the community, man.
Absolutely.
Doors are always open, you know, because it's right in, you stay right around the corner.
That's
so,
right.
You know, just come by here, holler at old man, old dude, you know what I mean? And I just want to thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having us. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been quite fun. Well, hey, you're here on the Bobby Eaton Show where we tell our stories our way. And Miss Sansaray should be back on tomorrow. And, you got anything else you want to say before we depart? Any of you guys?
Anyone
Anybody?
Thank you.
Make sure you check out Alter Ego on December 24th. And then
Trap Karaoke.
Trap Karaoke.
She say trap, huh?
December 16th.
Yeah, December 16th. December 16th.
So
Mama Dude's Restaurant.
Mama Dude's. Yeah, I think I might come. What time does that start?
We're getting that started at 9. Make sure you get there good and early because, you know, General Eden, you get real trappy.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You a real trap guy.
And wear your ugly sweater.
Ugly sweater, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't if you don't have an ugly sweater, make sure you wear a nice suit and look good.
She said come in a suit, huh?
Yeah, so especially.
Is that what it's going to be about like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, in this holiday season.
Right.
And be on the lookout 2018. We really want to expand this thing and open it up for everybody. You know, we're a part of Rise, but everyone, there's a lot more people who are Rise.
Right.
Great. Well, once again, thank you guys. Until the next time, hey, Thank you. This is Tulsa's own Gap Band, y'all. So, hey, we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
You're all fat. You know you have to slow down. You You can do it all night. You can do it. 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 You
That's right. I want to say money, 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 money. Here on the Bobby Eaton Show. Hey, I want to thank all of you listeners for dialing in tonight with Rise, you know, the organization that cares. And until next time, we want you to have a good one, you know, here on the Bobby Eaton Show. So take care. Like Sansaray always says, strength and blessings, you know. Yes. Yeah.